Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
We're recording.
Recording.
Wow, we are back.
Oh my
Hello,
god, it feels like
world.
Forever.
Yeah.
Hello. Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Where two black-ass girls invade the whitest show on earth, The Bachelorette.
The Bachelorette. Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we're in The Bachelor now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And we are back and so rusty. Wow. First of all, who knows how this episode's going to sound? Because we had technical difficulties out the ass setting up for this. Mm-hmm. It is 11 p.m., y'all.
Yep.
Wow.
Our meeting time was 8 p.m. Just want to give you that context.
Yeah, that was the start time. I mean, we haven't been dealing with technical difficulties for 3 hours. We were living life, but... here we are now at 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. Nice, you know, ripe Saturday night to record for you guys. But we're back and we're so excited.
So pumped.
Yeah, we took a true break, which we really needed. We had so mm-hmm. much going on in our personal lives that we really need to just shut this down for a little bit and go and handle those things.
Yep.
But we're back. For
we're
now.
Back.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, more details coming soon.
More details to come. But what's up, friend? What you been up to? Just tell me about your Negro woman spiritual you went to today.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, you guys. So for the black listeners, I know you guys will be familiar. For the white listeners, this will be a little cultural lesson. So today I went to the Negro Association for Black Women. Let me not say what the section is, because you all, we know you all are on the internet.
Air these old ladies out.
These sleuths. So, I went to this luncheon. This luncheon was 4 hours long. We did not eat until 1:45 p.m.
Damn.
Oh, my God. There was a tricky tray for a purse with Michelle Obama's face on it.
Oh, my God. This is literally a scene out of Madea. But this is your life.
There was several dance performances.
Okay.
It was, it was something. And I was so tired this morning. I came back from the city. I was out last night, all kinds of craziness. And this song they were performing to the girls, it was that song.
From The Lion King? The Circle of Life? Is that what you're humming right now?
My mother pulled one of my braids and said, "Is this from The Lion King?" And when I tell you, I was crying tears of laughter.
Oh, God. Why was that their song selection?
I couldn't even take it. Why were you dancing to that? Why?
Oh, wow. I can't.
Yep. Yep. So that was my culture for today. My 85-year-old aunt loved to see me, and I was there smiling Aww. With her.
You love going to a luncheon, mm-hmm. a Negro women's, as you say,
you
a
know,
Negro
I
woman's
don't.
Yada yada. She doesn't even finish out the name of the organization. She said, "I'm at some Negro women's yada yada with my aunt today." I'm like, okay, yeah, I know.
She has so many, and she's 85, so I want to like spend time with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot. But otherwise, off of that, everything else is going good. You know, over here, manifesting, living,
yes.
doing it, you know.
Doing it.
Mm-hmm. How about you, friend?
Oh man, I am recording not from Harlem, guys. I'm recording from Brooklyn, Brooklyn, New York, at my boyfriend's place.
Oh my God, you're gonna tell them? Ooh, yeah, girl,
that's all
wild.
I'm telling them. I got a man's, and that's it. And scene. That's no. It. That's it. Yeah, that's the biggest update in my life. I have a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. He cute.
Nice.
He be around. We in love and shit. Mm-hmm. And yeah, at his place. I Airbnb my apartment sometimes to make money. You know, you gotta have little side hustles, two or three, living in New York. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I have people living in my apartment right now, and so I'm living in his apartment right now, basically. but yeah, that's my biggest update. He's cute. We met on a dating app, everybody.
Oh, which one?
I've talked about my dating app kind of excursions, mm-hmm, a little bit here and there, yes, on the podcast.
Excursions.
Didn't think it would actually work for me, and lo and behold, I met this dude on Hinge. Shout out to Hinge. Mm-hmm. I've tried all of them. Literally every single dating app you can find. I have tried it even for a week. I've tried them all. Mm-hmm. And I met this little man on Hinge. And yeah, we had a long day. We went to the Transit Museum in Brooklyn. It's about like the New York City transit system.
Was that
system.
Something to see? You didn't egg it?
It was cool. No, it was cool. You got to go like underground. They had all kind of old trains, like old MTA trains. You learned the whole history of like how they built it. And Justine looks so bored. I'm not even going to keep going.
Because I would go in there protesting, okay? Fuck, you all got a museum? I was delayed getting here.
Actually, we took the G. We took the G to get there.
The G?
I think.
No, you might as well take a camel.
I know, I would have got there quicker. but it was interesting. As trifling as the MTAB, it was still interesting to learn the history. So we went that. Did a little thrift store shopping, walked around with the Cuban food. It was a cute little day.
Okay. I know how you both love old things.
We both love old. You know I love a good shirt with a hole in it.
Oh, God.
Stina hates my everything. Like, anything I wear, anything I, like, try to style. She's like, what is this, Natasha?
No, it's not even that. But that day when I recognized you from literally an avenue away because I recognized your leggings, I was like...
I love it. So, yeah, that was my day. That's my update. Everything else is good. Living life. Work is work. Life is life. Yeah, are we back?
Speaking of, mm-hmm, I don't know if we want to keep this or not, but speaking of, because if I and when I get a man, I'm never telling any of you. However, what kind of personal stuff would you want to see from us? I really would like to know, because I do things like put my 12-hour-old face on Instagram at the end of the day.
You do love
questions
a story.
And whatever. And I think you guys like it, but I'm not sure. Would love to hear your thoughts as to what you want to see from us. Yeah. Is it Natasha's travel tips? Is it dating and relationship stuff? Is it, like, what? Because we have many specialties. We are multifaceted. Mm-hmm. We are not a monolith.
Yes.
So what do you care to see from us? I would love to know. Email us.
Yeah. 2BlackGirls1Rose at Gmail. What else has been going on? Can we just recap, like, quickly, like, all the blackness that just happened in the world since we left?
Life, right?
First and foremost, homecoming. Hello.
The best.
Hello.
Oh, my God. How many times have you watched it?
I watched it 3 times, all in the same week, and it was, an overload, and I've stopped since then. It was, like, the night it came out, the next day, and then I think one other time, like, 2 days afterwards, and I was like, I need to stop. Like, I literally... I need to get my whole life together.
Right, because it's mostly the performance, which I've watched every day, mm-hmm, anyways. But watching her just manage her team just helps me to go to work the next day.
Oh, yes. Like... I felt like I could literally do anything.
Yeah. Yep.
Anything. It was just an incredible documentary, like, within itself. Mm-hmm. It was so beautifully made. It was such, like, a... It was, like, an ode to African-Americanness. And I feel like if you're a white person watching it, you learned a lot, like, about, particularly about the HBCUs. I learned shit. By the end, I wanted to go to HBCU. I was pissed where I went to go to college. It was like, they was having fun at HBCUs.
They did look like they had a lot of fun.
It was, like, a great, just not expose, but a great, like, exploration of that side of culture that we've never seen on such a grand stage like this. Yep. On Coachella or at Coachella and then on motherfucking Netflix for literally the entire world to see. It was everything. It was just so black. I just love seeing like the literal hundreds of singers and dancers and musicians singing and dancing in our style and to our music, like behind this beautiful black queen who could have made her Coachella, she could have made her Coachella performance anything, but she decided to make it as blackety black as she could. And I just lived for it. I could, like, literally talk endlessly about this.
Yeah, forever. Yeah.
I particularly love seeing, I don't know if you've seen online, like, videos of, like, little girls watching Homecoming and them just, like, staring in awe at Beyonce. Just, like, all starry-eyed.
Oh, my God. That's so nice.
I love it.
No, I haven't.
And that's...
Oh, my God. They're so lucky. They're so
We wasn't looking at nobody. To grow up with that. Dusty as Britney Spears. Like, we didn't have anybody, like, when we were growing up, on stage killing it, who looked like us. You know what I mean?
Or who was, like, taking command and control of a room and know she has a $500 billion performance. And her husband was like, okay, I guess I'll see you guys later.
Right.
Like,
we didn't... And we had some singers and stuff, but we didn't have, like, Beyonce growing up. So I love seeing those videos of those little girls just, like...
Or even seeing, like, backstage of, like, the Spice Girls. Like, even if the Spice Girls were just as commanding, we never knew.
Right. You know.
You know?
Ugh, I love it. And also, because I'm going to relate it back to The Bachelor, Bachelorette, like, those little videos of little girls, that is why representation is so important. Like... One, I'm about to, sorry, I might do a little rant real quick.
Oh, go ahead. This just came into my soul.
Like, on our Instagram, we stay getting these dusty ass white corn Fred MAGA ass Instagram trolls who stay coming on our feed, just stay, and I stay blocking y'all, so we keep coming. But anytime I post anything like race, diversity, representation related, any post I do with Rachel Lindsay in it and mention anything about race or diversity, these dusty ass MAGA trolls come up on our timeline talking about, you know, get over it. Why not go make your own? Like, people were literally saying, why not go make your own black bachelor? Things like that. This is what I'm talking about. Let me talk about representation matters.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Bachelor.
If we do that, let's just go back to segregation.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying
to say.
She said,
yeah, like, go have your own black TV stations. You go, and we will make our own shit. Like, the reason why we get so up in arms about this is, and we sound like broken records, but I don't give a shit. I'm going to keep saying it. The Bachelor is a primetime national treasure. It has been on air for 17 years. Not that many shows have been on TV for that long. 23 seasons of The Bachelor, 14 of The Bachelorette, countless spinoffs. And all kinds of shit from this franchise. And for us to only have one person of color lead and, like, a handful of contestants that even make it past the first night, just by sheer representation standards, the show is spewing this message that fairy tale love stories are only for white people.
Right. Exactly.
Racial relationships ain't a thing. Black women aren't desirable. Asian men don't exist. Latinas are only feisty and cause drama. Like,
Indian women. Oh, yeah. Asian, yes.
The underlying messages of the franchise are so problematic. So I just slept very well when Homecoming came out because I just know that Beyonce exists. And little girls and young girls and college girls watching TV, they ain't going to get this message and feel goodness from watching The Bachelor. They're going to get it from other things on TV that are a little bit more representative of them. But this is why we're so up in arms about this show that has such a platform and just continues to not represent people who watch the show, which is very frustrating.
And it does, like so many people in the inbox say, it gives you something to relate to in some of your coworkers or whoever who are watching The Bachelor, like some of these white women or white men that you work with. And I know for me, it's given me a level of clout in my workplace that mm-hmm. I watch this show. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I shouldn't have to be forced to watch, what's her name, Cassie Casey? I even forget from 2 months ago who won.
Oh, Cassie, yeah.
Cassie. I shouldn't have to watch Cassie's mediocre self to relate to my coworkers. We should be able to talk about Tasia, whoever, everybody. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating.
Very frustrating. But thank you, Beyonce, for creating beautiful art where I can relate to. Okay. And to all the little girls and boys that get to watch her and feel like they see somebody that look like them. Love it. Ugh. Sorry. Just had to, that literally, okay. I don't know why I did
not to do that. Your but ancestors, just... they bubbled up.
Exactly. The spirit just took me away. What else is happening in Black world? Meghan Markle, she about to bust.
Meghan Markle, I'm convinced, had that baby and is in Zimbabwe on vacation. Okay.
With she Harry. Had the baby. How do you know she had the baby?
I would think so, because she was due in April.
Oh.
It is May. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it just turned May, Justine. Relax. It's May 4th.
But people very rarely come to like the full stop 40 weeks. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Rare. So I don't know. Wow. We'll see. I mean, I don't think we're going to see that kid until Christmas.
Oh, they're definitely going to hide.
Yeah.
Boy, girl, do we even know what it is?
We don't know.
Whatever, it's black and it's in Buckingham Palace, so it could be a fucking, like, lizard for all I care. It's black and it's ours, so we claim him or her. Shit, it's royalty. Other black news. This is like a new segment, other black news.
Oh, I like that, though. I think that'd be cute.
I know. That'd I just love that so much shit happened since we've mm-hmm. gone, so I feel like we just have to cover it. So quickly, Miss Teen USA, Haley Garris, black girl, she won Miss Teen USA sporting her natural hair.
And hello. I love how she spells Haley.
It was like L-I-E-G-H?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I was like, at first I thought it was a spelling error. I don't know what, but like Hilai, so it looks like. Anyways, she was rocking a fro, loved it. Still waiting to see a girl with natural hair on The Bachelor, but we'll keep waiting.
Yeah,
we just got
that's
a red.
Okay.
We just got a redhead last season, so
yeah.
Let's start slow. And then also, I don't know if you knew, in the first time in history, Miss USA, Miss America, and Miss Teen USA are all black.
That is wild.
Wild. What's happening? Progress. Yeah. Love it.
Well, one of them, ooh, I don't want to get this wrong. I know we have pageant people who listen. But right, I read on one of them was doing prison reform and she's like 27.
Oh, wow.
She's like out here.
That was her, so her platform, because they all have like platforms. Her platform is like prison reform.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Love it. Because a lot of times, I mean, I haven't watched Miss USA or any of these things in a while, but sometimes mm-hmm. their platforms are like bogus ass causes, save the caterpillars, or like just dumb shit. Like, can we do something that actually affects actual change? Like,
yeah.
I don't even know. I feel like anti-bullying was like so many people's platform
that's
for
not,
years.
Like, you can't change that as
it's, and it's Miss tired. USA Everybody did. Has an anti-bully platform.
And you just did, like, a bathing suit competition. Get out of here with your anti-bullying. Ain't nobody gonna believe you.
Exactly.
What?
Oh, my God. Ugh. But, yeah, shout out to Miss USA America and Team USA. Beautiful black women. Last little thing. Halima Aden. Is that what? Mm-hmm. Is that her name?
Halima Aden. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. First model to wear a hijab and a burkini in mm-hmm. Sports Illustrated. And
that's
she looked
crazy.
Bomb.
She looks so that, good. Yeah, she's gorgeous.
That was wild. Because Sports Illustrated, they always have, every year they do the, like, painted, like, the girls are butt naked and they, like, paint them.
They're nude.
They're, like, straight nude. And then mm-hmm. this is, like, one extreme to the next. Now we have a model who's mm-hmm. wearing a full burkini and a hijab.
Yep.
I love it. Got your hijab. Because, Justine, you always talking about having someone in The Bachelor with who... Where's that hijab?
Hello? Okay.
You're gonna be waiting to the end, to the dawn of time.
To wait till, oh God, till Revelations. But I'm waiting. Because, hello, this is the sexiest issue of any magazine to come out all year. Mm-hmm. And this girl's in a burkini? Like, yes. Come on.
Awesome.
Come on, guys. Love it. And she looks so pretty. Illustrated. And I remember, I think it was 3 years ago, someone was on the cover and their whole vagina was hanging out.
What? If you say it like that, their whole vagina was
on
like
the
that.
Cover. And you know, shout out to that girl who I'm sure is like now 20, maybe 21, but she was on the cover of this magazine, and everybody I remember online was like, what are we doing? What is this? Her entire vagina. No. Like, you can see
what
her ovaries, like,
oh no, on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
It was on the cover. It was like the bikini was so
small. Like, oh, okay, crazy. I see. Oh jeez,
it was so bad. So shout out to Halima, always
shout out. Yeah, that's it for random black news that we just felt like talking about. I don't know what segment that was. We just wanted to talk about black shit. So, okay, it's Saturday. We're recording this episode. This will come out on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So when you're listening to this, yesterday, mm-hmm. Monday, the ABC had a Bachelorette reunion. Hasn't been much, like, information about what this reunion is. We just know it's, like, I think they said 12 of the 14 Bachelorettes.
Oh, okay. That's a decent turnout.
Will have been there, yeah. And I don't know if they're, like, recapping stuff or what the hell is going on. I don't really know. For Justine and I, the only bachelorette who matters, in our opinion, is Miss Rachel Lindsay.
Right. Who will be there?
Who will be exciting. There? And also, we didn't even announce at the top of the episode, Rachel Lindsay's season is going to be the theme for this episode, basically.
Yes. Yep.
So a little later on, we're going to count down our top 10 most memorable moments from Rachel's season in honor of this Bachelorette reunion foolishness that they're playing on Monday. And we loved Rachel's season so much. Really going back through her season for this episode, so much shit went down her season.
Oh, yeah. A lot.
A lot of drama. Like, we'll get into it, but a whole bunch of stuff. It was a very good season, so... so yeah, that's what we're gonna do on this episode. As for his Bachelorette reunion, I don't really know.
I don't know who cares. I don't know.
I don't know
what this is about.
Not like... sure. I don't know. Okay, before we get into the episode, our countdown of Rachel's season, and we do have some Bachelor Nation news we want to cover. We got everything in this episode, guys. It might be a long one. But we've been gone for a while, so we're just trying to pack it all in. But before we get to that, very important announcement. So, for those of you who are not on our social media, we are 2BlackGirls1Rose on Instagram, 2BLKGirls1Rose on Twitter. You're probably out of the loop as to what our plans are for Hannah B's season, which premieres next Monday. Now, as we stated on the season finale last season, we have decided to move our podcast to Patreon.
Yay!
Justine and I decided that the only way in hell we were going to dedicate hours each week of our time to watching whack-ass Hannah B's Journey for Love is if we started to make some money. Because this podcast is a lot of fun, but y'all know it's a lot of work as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's 11 p.m. on a Saturday, and we are recording right now.
Right.
So... for just $5 a month, you can get exclusive access to our weekly recaps of this season's Bachelorette by signing up to become a patron on Patreon. Now you might be asking, what is Patreon? Patreon is an online platform where creators, musicians, podcasters, artists, people from around the world post content for their listeners and their fans, who in return pay a very tiny monthly fee. And for you guys, you know, we've been doing this podcast. We released this podcast December 17th, 2017.
Yeah.
So a little over a year and a half for free 99. Mm-hmm. We don't have any sponsors. We don't have any ads. Just good old free content that we put out for the masses. Because we really enjoy watching The Bachelorette and The Bachelor, and we have fun. But the times have changed, and we really need you guys' support. Regardless of whether or not you're going to watch The Bachelorette, because we have a lot of people who are saying we're not watching Hannah B. Mm-hmm. Regardless of whether you're watching her, if you still don't want to miss out on hearing our beautiful voices mm-hmm. and kikiing with us each and every Wednesday, then you have to sign up for Patreon. Mm-hmm. This is how you do it. It literally takes 2 minutes. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/twoblackgirlsonerose. That is patreon.com/2blackgirls1rose. Donate $5 a month. Boom. You get exclusive recaps of Hannah B's season.
Yep.
We'll have the link in the description box. And basically, yeah, if you don't sign up, you don't get the recaps. It's basically as simple as that.
Yeah. They're not going to be put up on iTunes or Spotify or any of that stuff.
Yeah. Exclusive for our MVPs on Patreon for the low fee of $5 a month. So we originally said that we were going to recap the season if we got 2,000 listeners to sign up on Patreon. Now we're asking, all we want is a minimum of 1,000 of you guys to sign up by the premiere next Monday, and we will recap the season for those 1,000 smart, lucky people mm-hmm. who donated on Patreon. If we get less than 1,000 people, we're probably just going to have to reconsider, moving forward. Our plan is going to be to refund people mm-hmm. Through Patreon, and then we will reconsider coming back for Bachelor in Paradise. And that's pretty much where we stand at this point. As much as we love, love, love this podcast, it is mm-hmm. work, and it's becoming unsustainable to do this.
That's the thing. We're not going to, because it's Hannah B, take down the quality of the work that we're doing. It's going to be the same quality of work that we've been putting out, which means mm-hmm. that we have to have, and I think this podcast has quite a bit of monetary value, and so we have to start taking advantage of that.
So I implore you guys to support us. You know, if our podcast has become a staple in your, Wednesday morning routine, why mess up your routine now?
Right.
Keep listening to us. Right. Sign up today. Patreon.com/2blackgirls1rose. And I said it on the Instagram. If you can pay problematic ass Amazon, whose literally the warehouse workers in Amazon are dying
slavery
because they're being overworked. Please Google it if you don't know what I'm talking about. If you are paying mm-hmm. Amazon $12.99 a month for Amazon Prime, you can help support two young black creatives out here doing God's work by watching this mm-hmm. damn girl Hannah B find love every Monday. Recapping after that, editing for 4 hours after that, promoing on social media and answering posting, emails and
live
DMs.
Live tweeting
Ooh. For y'all. If you could pay problematic ass to Amazon, you can donate $5 measly to us mm-hmm. two black ass girls right here.
Yep.
Support creators, support us. We really want to keep doing this podcast, but we need your support to do so. Again, it's patreon.com/2blackgirls1rose. We're hoping to get to 1,000 supporters by the premiere next week, because it'll be a very sad day if Wednesday comes around and no new episode pops up from Two Black Girls, One Rose. Sad for y'all and sad for us as well. We don't want that to happen, mm-hmm. so sign up today. That's our plug. Okay. Yep. Beyond that, as always, rate, review, subscribe. I told y'all we're on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, all over social media. So if you're not following us on those platforms, please do that. And then also you can email us number2blackgirls1rose@gmail.com. Yeah. So we're still not at the Rachel recap, y'all. We're still.
No, we are. Thank you for still being here. If you're still here.
Thank you for still tuning in.
This is like the luncheon I went to today.
4 hours in, we're still not at the program. We promise you, we are doing the top 10 most memorable moments of Rachel Lindsay season. Mm-hmm. But first, we're bringing back something, y'all.
Ooh,
we're bringing up
old favorite.
I know, old favorite. The Peter and Eric update. God. We have to retire this segment because these niggas wasn't doing jack shit.
Thing.
A thing. But I actually have a little update for my man, Peter.
Okay.
Peter went from hosting boot camps all over the country to finally opening up his own gym, his first physical location. Peter Cross Fitness. It's in Middletown, Wisconsin.
Never. Wow.
I love that he is still just in like living Wisconsin. He has not moved to LA. He's not in West Hollywood. He's not doing none of this shit.
Love it.
He's still running his little fitness thing, and he's done so well that he's opened up his first studio. Mm-hmm. Back on April 24th, he had a whole opening, and then by that weekend, he had all his regular classes running. I mean, shout out to Peter. Yeah. Literally exited stage left from the franchise. Mm-hmm. Still amassed a huge number of Instagram followers. Mm-hmm. People are still, very thoroughly invested in his life.
And I was about to say, he has not had dating and all that.
Yes. And has not done jack shit with the franchise. Mm-mm. Versus some people who they leave the show and then their whole life becomes consumed by Bachelor world, Bachelorness. They're, you know, on the finale show, they're recapping, they're with Chris Harrison, they're doing all this shit. He chucked the deuces, went to the left, and is still out here just...
And we're still following him to the left.
And we are still following him. Like, that's the crazy thing. So, shout out to Peter, actually doing something. What about your man, Eric?
So, Eric has been taking selfies with white women and shirtless on Instagram stories. And that's it. That's the Eric update.
Who...
That's all.
What? Who are the white women? What?
All these random women who you be training and stuff.
Oh, he still does the personal training.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You know, still crickets. Putting up foolishment, quotes that are not his own.
The motivational stuff. That's your man. You claim him.
Know,
you can have him.
I know. Yeah. He always will be, but oof, boy. Nothing. So nothing.
Nothing. All right. Beyond Peter and Eric, we do have a little bit of Bachelor Nation news. So a bunch of little stuff went down since we left the podcast world. We're back now. Big news, Kendall and Joe the grocer, they moved in together. They are still a thing post Paradise.
Why do we know that?
I don't know, and I don't particularly care about them.
Me either. I looked at their Instagram, and I was like, there's not even a paid advertisement in here. Like, why do we know about this?
No, they definitely do ads.
They do, but the moving in announcement wasn't an advertisement, but maybe it's part of the whole marketing scheme. I don't know.
Joe has moved from Chicago to West Hollywood, so...
Oh, God.
I mean, he's been in this world, 'cause he did Dancing with the Stars. He did the whole Dancing with the Stars tour. Mm-hmm. Kendall, I believe, is from LA, like originally.
Yeah,
so she's
is
in that whole world. Joe has 751,000 Instagram followers.
No, he does not.
I distinctly remember when he started, or after the first episode or something like that, he had like 40,000, and it's just slowly grown since then.
Wow.
Yeah. He got 751. He got sponsors. He got tags on all his posts. Oh, yeah. His pictures all look like professionally shot. Either
he is
someone
well into the six figures, like
Oh hell yeah,
yeah.
And someone's either clearly running this account, or he took some Instagram courses. Because you remember when he first started?
Oh my god,
Joe! First of all, he posted very sporadically, but it was like Instagram stories, horrible lighting,
the food reviews
of him eating burgers or something. Like, and now his Instagram looks like it's a business. It's
like
a business.
Hannah G's.
Yeah, it looks like Hannah G's. Yeah, it's a full-on business. So,
yeah,
get your coin. I guess happy for him and Kendall. I don't know. Whatever. Speaking of peddling shit on Instagram, Cassie and Colton. Cassie has. You look so confused. Like, who's Cassie? Look at your face.
Yeah.
It's like Cassie. She said, "Who's
I'm sorry,
that?"
Sorry, I totally took them out of my whole ether. Like, okay, yeah.
They're still out here. Cassie, guess how many followers she has on Instagram?
1.6 million, easy.
Oh, you know, okay. It's 1.6.
Is it 1.6?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Oh yeah. Did you just guess that?
Oh my god. Why?
She's 1.6 million. I think she was one of the girls who started off already with a very sizable number.
Yes.
Remember Colton season? Did. Like, a lot of the girls were already influencers. It was very bizarre. So she, she's been peddling all kinds of foolishness. And I read this one article that was hilarious. Oh, she was recently peddling some skincare bullshit. And a fan... like called her out and was like, and said, "Every day you say you use something else. Can I get your real skincare routine?"
Oh my god! Funny.
Somebody else said, "It's better. It's probably better to take skincare advice from your local dermatologist, not a reality TV star." I don't understand. Can someone explain to me the influencer? Shit, like when they're pushing products every single day, like every post is another sponsorship and another product. This is not why I followed you. I didn't follow you to be pushed product. I followed you to look at your clothes and to see who you're dating and, like, you know, that superficial shit. I don't care what your bullshit products you're putting on your face that someone hashtag ad. Like, I don't care. Yeah.
Well, that's why the advertisers go and seek these people out. Because if they put up their real stuff and they said, "This is really my skincare routine," you'd pay attention.
I would pay attention if it was the real shit. But, yeah. Like, does this work? I don't know. Like, if I was a hardcore, I had to be a hardcore Cassie fan. So everything she posts, I just, like, take it as face value. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's the best skincare. Oh, my God, that's the best skirt. I have to go buy it. But if I'm just a casual, regular person, like, I don't see how them every single post promoting some product or another, like, helps their brand. I don't know.
I think there's more hardcore Cassie fans than we think.
Okay, so maybe that's it.
And
it's not even just Cassie. It's
it's all of them.
All Instagram people. I'm just so perplexed by this world when you look at post after post after post and different things are tagged in each post and hashtag ad is on every single post. Very strange.
Very, very odd. Yeah, and I know Becca M is really getting into the influencer game, like, heavy.
Oh, yeah, because she's selling maternity stuff now. And
well,
her whole vibe now is, like, the hippie mom vibe.
Yes, but today I saw her selling a FabFitFun box. I said, okay.
Jeez. Get your coins, I guess, but I just don't. It's not effective on me. Like, I get annoyed when I follow people and they have ad. I just unfollow them because that's not why I followed you. Very strange. In other news, Ashley I and Jared, remember they were engaged? They have got a show, own show called Rosebuds. It's going to be on YouTube. Connect. I don't even know this TV station. Connect Contents TV YouTube page. It says it's from the producers of Married at First Sight. So they have, like, legit reality TV producers. And it's not only following Ashley and Jared, but Nick Viall is going to be on it. Dean.
Oh, messy.
Jade and Tanner. I personally am not interested.
I'm not gonna watch this.
I also feel like we see so much of their lives already on Instagram.
Yep.
So, like, what new exclusive content am I gonna get by watching
the
show?
How did this pitch happen?
They live their lives on Instagram. Like, we see all of these, Dean, Nick, Ashley, Jarrett, all of them, we see their whole life play on Instagram. So what am I gonna see behind? If I don't see Nick and Dean out on dates, like, all up in their love life, that stuff that they probably don't post on Instagram, if that shit's not on the show, then I'm not interested.
Yeah,
I'm not
watching. Why would you be?
Why would I be? I need to see something exclusive, i.e., who the fuck are they fucking?
Oh, no.
That's really what we care about. Why else am I tuning into the show to watch Nick when I could go on his damn Instagram story and see his whole damn life?
Right.
So that's that last piece of Bachelor Nation news. So this is relation to Hannah B's season. So kind of a spoiler alert, I guess. So spoiler alert if you don't want to hear anything about Hannah B's season in relation to the casting, really. So if you don't want to hear it, speed along. But news came out that two guys from her cast got the boot. So remember, like, a month ago, they released the pictures of all the guys on Facebook. Since then, they just been
cleaning up.
Crumbling, basically. Two of them got kicked off. One guy, Joe Ramiro, 27, from Staten Island, is a firefighter. He got kicked off the show before filming even started.
He was so sad on his Instagram story after.
He saw the video.
It was sad.
Yeah. He almost was implying that they, like, I don't know if it was in the video or on the, he did an interview, that they found something in his phone, like a picture or something in his phone.
Like a nude?
That was, like, I don't know. Probably not a nude. All these dudes got nudes, I'm sure. Yeah. But found something after they handed back the phone. He got kicked off. So that was before filming. And then another guy, this is my favorite one, because this one was all over the all over Reddit and everything. This guy, Matt, full-on creeper, a girl Twitter, uploaded, this girl on Twitter uploaded a series of screenshots that showed Matt harassing her in Instagram DMs, sending her unsolicited messages over the course of years. Years. He was just pestering her, just sending, will you talk to me now? Hey, how's it going? Hey. For years upon years.
Disgusting. You guys, with this, like, the other day, I just looked up Matt Lauer just for a laugh, just for fun. You guys are getting caught doing this. You cannot keep doing this.
You cannot keep doing this. You cannot be the days of being a creep are over. You can't do it. I'm so sorry.
They're done.
They're done.
Because the women, all of us girls are banding together and saying, no, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're good. And while I'm at it, I'm going to screenshot this and send this to every news outlet that I can find who gives a shit. Like, that's what we're doing now. We're taking charge and embarrassing the shit out of you disgusting slime balls. Ugh. Yeah. So, yeah, that's it for Bachelor Nation News. Should we dive into the actual contents of this episode?
Yes. So we let's do it. 43 minutes.
I gotta edit that shit down. Oh my god, it's a lot. So for this episode, as we said, we're doing a top 10 countdown of our most memorable moments from Rachel Lindsay's season, which was the season that catapulted this podcast, basically. We never recapped her episode. We started the podcast fresh after her season. We never actually recapped her season, which we, like, deeply regret. We wish we had this idea before, because her season was so good, so juicy.
I didn't know I'd be watching every episode. I watch every episode of this.
Oh, yeah. Every episode, me and Justine together.
Every episode.
With our wine, kikiing. Cracking each other up, and then realize, fuck, we should probably do a podcast. This is, like, hilarious and fun. where do I start? Rachel Lindsay as the Bachelorette. So we've talked extensively about our feelings on, like, the Peter versus Brian, and you know, we were hard on Rachel initially because we were big Peter fans and blah blah blah. One thing Justine and I never did was bash Rachel. We have always been Rachel Lindsay fans. As someone who, like, I personally have been watching this godforsaken show for years, literally, like, since season one of The Bachelor. I remember it distinctly. And literally every season, I was like, this is the year, this is the year. You know, any person of color who seemed safe and likable, I was like, this is it, he's going to be it, she's going to be the next one. Like, literally, I did this for years, hoping and wishing that the next one was going to be a person of color. I really, really had hope for Jubilee when Jubilee was on Ben Higgins' season. I, like, was so sure she was going to be our first Bachelorette, and then that didn't happen. So when they finally announced Rachel, she was, for me, as someone who's been watching this show forever and hoping and wishing on a prayer that somebody that looked like me would be the lead, when they announced her, it was, like, one of the most exciting things of my life. As, like, sad as that is, it was like a godsend. Yeah. This is what I've been waiting for. That sounded really pathetic. Oh my God. And then on top of that, she was like, she was more accomplished than any bachelorette before. I would say her and Andy Dorfman. Andy was the one from Juan Pablo season. She was like a prosecutor.
Yes, she a was. Of some sort. Because she was got pretty his badass. Ass. Anyway.
But so Rachel, you know, I'd say she was up there with Andy Dorfman for sure. But she was super accomplished. She was black. We met her family. They were hella black, so I love that even more. She was, you know, super well-spoken, intelligent, had depth, like, characteristics that aren't really standard for bachelorette contestants. And then she also, like, very much acknowledged the importance of her role as the first black bachelorette and the first lead of color. Like, she stood proudly in it when she was doing her press tour. Before the show, she was very outspoken about this role. And so going into the season, like, I was like already a huge Rachel fan, and having her as the bachelorette and literally still our only bachelorette, and I'm so happy that she's still out here talking about how disappointed she's in the franchise and still making sure the talk of diversity on this show is still like a thing. Just makes me commend her even more. So that's my spiel on Rachel. But yeah, we're going to count down our top 10 moments. Top 10 most memorable moments. So this will be a walk down memory lane for those of you who loved Rachel's season as much as ours.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. What about you?
Yeah, I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which you know is very important to me. But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helps me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
Never listened to the season. I don't know. We'll give you a, or never watched the season, I mean. We'll give you a full little kind of recap of like the highlights. So we'll start us off, Justine. Okay. What are we talking about? What was our moment 10?
So starting off with my second husband. Fred Cassidy.
He was a husband status?
Oh my God. Shit. As soon as he came on camera, I was like, that's it. He's my husband. This is it. He was adorable. I thought he was so cute. He had like a nice voice. He would always hold her hand. And, you know, he was always so nice. And he had a huge downfall at the very end. Oh my God. His ending was just garbage.
Treacherous. We had a lot of hope in Fred. Because I remember when we first saw him step out the limo and then we learned that he was like someone from her past. He had the whole yearbook. So someone she went to middle school with or whatever. Like, we were so like, oh my God, we like already saw the whole storyline, like the whole fairy tale. And then it just like crashed and burned.
Oh my God.
So bad. Fred turned out to be a lame-o. Pretty lame.
Asked her if he could kiss her. And she looked at him like, so you really about to ask me this? I think she said that.
She like scoffed.
I think she was like, you are going to ask me this?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then he went in and kissed her anyways. It was so bad. Yeah, it was terrible. Like, after he saw her, like, scoff, he was like, well, you know, I have to be the man and just go. And then by that point, she's already like, you're absolutely dud.
Not the man. Like, nope. No, you're not.
Ugh. And you could tell immediately when she kissed him, like, there was nothing there. Mm-mm. She literally felt nothing. Mm-hmm. My prediction, because people were hard, we were hard on Rachel, too, because we were like, damn, Fred, yeah, like, he's so nice and, you know, sweet. Like, at least give him a chance. Like, she seemed to just be not even, in, she didn't give him a chance, like, at all, like, didn't give him any time of day. My thought is maybe Rachel was just not attracted to him.
Yeah, that could have been it. That could have been it. She could have seen exactly what we saw in that moment first, like, night.
Yeah, like that timid passiveness, like, that's not very attractive, even though he's very physically attractive, like that kind of quality. She probably picked that up ASAP and was like, yeah, nah.
Yeah, and considering but, who her fiance is now. And the qualities that she likes.
She loves someone who takes charge and grabs your face and makes out, not fucking asks you for a kiss.
Yeah.
That's so true. But yeah, poor Fred. We literally never saw him again. So.
No.
Moment number 9. This is the live finale. So ABC doing Rachel dirty on the live finale of her season. So never have we had to watch a lead sit on live television and watch her breakup live in front of a studio audience. Like, they literally never did that before. Rachel in her live finale. It was pretty cruel. It was very successful at making Rachel out to be this like angry, scorned woman. Because we had to watch her break up with Peter, and everyone was like huge Peter fans. It made Peter fans even more sympathetic to Peter, which was the goal, because the whole thing was designed for him to basically be set up as the next Bachelor.
Even it made us look sad. He did not need this setup.
He didn't need the setup because he had so many fans. Everybody loved Peter regardless. But they needed this moment of him looking like a sad kind of victim puppy dog, and make Rachel out to be kind of like the angry, scorned, bitter girl who's like still hung up on him. That's kind of almost how it made her seem, because she was so filled with like so much emotion around this whole thing. It made us, I mean, we even was looking sideways at Rachel because we're like, why is she giving him attitude? Why is she being so defensive? Like,
this was why? Super Bowl. We were like,
oh yeah,
watching the big game. We were like, maybe it'll turn around live during the finale.
We're like, maybe she's gonna, maybe he's gonna come out and pose live. Like,
right, live.
We still had hope that it was Peter and Rachel in the end. Oh my God. But yeah, they really had her up there. They really just did her dirty. Did her dirty. Definitely one of the most memorable finales we've ever seen of this franchise. And I think what really happened, and so what they put her on blast basically for her having, she had to like defend her choice in Brian and defend her happiness, while also explaining herself to Peter when he doesn't really deserve anything. Like,
he doesn't need that. He got that already. Like,
yeah, like, she doesn't owe anybody shit. And so the whole thing was just kind of like icky. Like, she had to do a lot of work on stage when really she should have just been sitting there pretty and like enjoying her happiness. I would say the one redeeming thing about this was that the whole ABC ploy ended up not being successful in the end, because Peter turned down being the Bachelor. Booyah!
Yep. And Rachel Brian are still together. So
still together. I think we have an August wedding date. August, I think. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They are still together. Peter, literally, as he stepped off the stage, never saw the Bachelor franchise again. And so they did all of that at the expense of Rachel, and they didn't even get what they wanted in the end.
Yep.
So terrible. And that was moment number nine. What's number our nine. Eight most memorable moment from Rachel's
Number
season?
Eight was meeting Rachel's family. So good. So, so good. When they panned that camera to that huge ass house, I was just so excited. I was this is a certain level of black excellence in here. And when her father wasn't there, because he is a judge and can't be bothered with you, American Broadcasting Company. Oh my God, so good.
I loved it.
But
I appreciated that she came from a very normal, everyday, American, almost upper middle class family.
Yep.
And they just so happened to be black. Mm-hmm. And it was great. I'm glad that the viewers of this show who were let's talk about the core audience here. This is middle America, white MAGA hat wearing, Barbaras. I don't know. They got to sit and watch this. They got to see a black hometown. Having a black contestant is one thing, but getting to go to a black hometown, I loved it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for some of those MAGA hat wearing people, this might have been their only time they've ever seen a black person in love, or the only time ever seeing a black nuclear family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is wild, but
wild.
A thing. So watched a couple clips on this. Rachel's mom was really grilling Brian, and I think she was really grilling Brian because she saw the heart eye emoji face on Rachel and knew that he was a little slick. He was always saying the right thing at the right time. And this is something that Rachel said during the season too. She was like, this is weird that you're always so charming, but her mom was not falling for it. Her mom was like, so what's the deal with you? what is going on here? And she said she could tell that Rachel didn't like how, she was kind of grilling him, but she didn't care.
No.
She was like, this is my daughter's life. And my husband's not here. So
I need to get all the questions answered. And I loved her mom was super tough.
Oh. It was one of the only times we got deep answers out of Brian on the show. They made him look real superficial on the show, but his family, her family, dragged it out of him.
That's true. Yeah, her mom was questioning him a lot. She had tenfold number of questions for Brian than she did for Peter and Eric.
Yes,
they were not playing. Rachel's sister loved her sister. Sister. Her sister had a perma side eye, the whole time. Particularly for Brian. For all of them, she was very tough. But particularly on the Brian visit, she was just not taking anything at face value. Permanent side eye. In the clip I watched, Brian said something about his mother was the number one woman in his life. And the sister, instant, her face was
oh my God.
All turned sideways. And another point, Brian, he dropped the word love, and the mom, her face was everybody in that whole family was so skeptical, in the way that they should, because your daughter, you love dearly, is bringing home somebody that you do not know. And the two of them are talking about they in love. And it's what is this?
Who are you?
Who are you? What was your name again?
Two other men are coming from you, and then there's one after. So what do you mean?
Right. I appreciate it. Because the best hometowns are when they ask good questions.
Yep.
And they're not just being purposely mean, but they're really trying to understand this person who their daughter is walking in the house claiming to be loved up and down by, but they literally don't even know who they are. And all they get are words, but they need to kind of weed through the words. And then also, I love that her mom said, because Rachel got very defensive at one point, her mom, why are you always questioning? Why do you keep questioning him? And the mom said to her, she said, you are in a bubble. We are outside mm-hmm. of the bubble. We do not know this man. mm-hmm. That is why we are questioning him. And I appreciated that. It was a good meeting of the family.
It was. What's the next one? What's the next moment, friend?
The number seven moment of the most memorable times of Rachel Lindsay season is Will admitting that he only dated white girls. Mm-hmm. Now, from Drum Street, I thought Will was a cornball.
Yep, agreed.
From his limo, I had to go back and like, I was like, who's this little guy again? So from his limo entrance, where he dressed up as Steve Urkel, corny as shit. My God. Nonetheless, he was cute. He was black. So we're, you know, intrigued to see. Tall. You know, we're still intrigued to watch him, see what his connection with Rachel's going to be. Well, one of the most, to me, this is one of the most shocking moments of the season, in my opinion, is when this man decided to admit on national television that he mostly dates white women. Mm-hmm. And this is something I would hide because you're just looking crazy.
Me too.
This is something I would not admit. I would lie up and down. I've dated this girl, that yes. girl, black girls are my thing. Like, why, yep. black yep. man, are you getting on TV and doing this? So the scene was Will was hanging out with some of the guys in the house and said that Rachel, quote, did not look like the people I've been dating for the past couple of years. He then admitted that he typically dates white girls and then backed it up by saying, it's not like I don't date black girls. I have, lie. But lie. Growing up where I grew up, especially in high school, there weren't a lot of black girls.
Another lie.
Right. Like, so much in there I can just dissect.
Yeah,
this right. is you're just stupid. This whole explanation.
Yeah.
Then Madu goes on his one-on-one date with Rachel, where they literally had zero connection.
Not even friends.
Not even like, friends. Nothing. Like Rachel didn't seem like she even wanted to be bothered with this dude. Like mm-hmm. he was a waste of her time. It seemed like. Then on their date, he admits to her that he's mostly dated outside of his race, mostly dated white women. Mm-hmm. And so Rachel said she was not buying his explanation too about how I grew up in a white town, so I don't really know that many black girls.
Yeah,
Rachel
no,
said no. her Mm-mm. no. Rachel said herself, I was raised in a majority white community, but I've predominantly dated black people.
Right.
And it was just so painful just watching Will's whackness just play out so awkwardly. Like, this was like a moment for many black viewers, black female viewers of the show, who we all know a Will. Mm-hmm. We all know that black dude who does not date what black girls. Yeah. Who will claim up and down that, you know, it's not a but he has not given a chance not one time to know black girls. He's only exclusively dates white girls.
And the second he finds a white girl with a big ass who can make some chicken, boom, done.
Gone. And gone. To each their own, you can have your preference, whatever, but
yes,
you are on national television admitting this foolishness. And you're on a date with Rachel fucking Lindsay, who is gorgeous and successful and someone that you should be vying for. And yet you sat on a date most and just looked her in the eyes and said, I don't really date girls who look like you. That's like my track record. Like, you just dumb. You could at least come up with a lie. Like, I'm just glad he didn't lie.
Oh my God. You could have made something up.
It was such a strange, strange moment. Such a strange... Mm-hmm. Strange moment. Also just made me just think about like the casting, like where did they find this guy?
Yeah.
You, Rachel before told everybody that she mostly dated black men and then you bring in a cast of black men, one of the black men doesn't even date black women. Like what? That was a waste of a casting. He was a black guy that they just needed to throw in another one. But he's someone who doesn't even date black women. Like, what was the point of even having him here? And he's dumb because he couldn't even admit that he was into black women. Or, I don't even know. Next, what's next? Reading back and watching the clips of him was just so annoying and just, like, brought up so many just emotions,
triggering feelings, yeah,
triggering shit from college.
Yes.
Everybody knows that one black guy that so fine the only day the white girls, good girl.
Yikes.
So number six moment,
one of my favorite moments, and in doing this research I watched this back at least four times, which was Rachel's limo entrances.
She had such good ones,
particularly Peter and Brian's limo entrances. Now, Brian was like speaking Spanish to her, mad suave. This is the moment that I remember, it was Natasha and I and our other friend. We were watching, we were like, oh, okay, this is like, he's like kind of cute. All right, okay. And then he was like 38, too. We were like, that's a solid age. 38. Yeah, he's
dumb old.
Nice.
Yep, not playing around.
But the very first limo entrance, and I will maintain the best limo entrance I've ever seen, was Peter.
Change the game.
Oh my God, from the moment.
Change the game on limo entrances.
His polka dot sock coming out of the limo had me from there. And then they panned up to his like jacquard print jacket and a little bow tie, and he straightened up himself and smiles, and I was like, what? Oh my God, he was so fine. Oh my God.
So fine.
It was unbelievable. And the first out the
limo. So when he stepped out the limo, I mean, mouths of all viewers across the country dropped. Again. Because we've never seen someone who looked like this on The Bachelor.
Never.
On The Bachelorette.
Never.
And whether you like Peter now or not, regardless of how you feel about him now,
yes,
everybody's mouth dropped when he came out that damn limo.
Yes.
And it was the first out the limo. Mm-hmm. I was so happy for Rachel. I said, yes, Lord. They are casting full-on meals on this show. Oh, my God. This man. What is this? He looked like a supermodel.
Yeah, he did.
It was unreal.
He did. But he looked, like, unreal but not untouchable because of his gap.
Yes.
Like, he had that little, like, imperfection about him that was like, okay, you're a human being. Mm-hmm. But, like, oof, just fine. Oh, all around. Delicious. So oh my God. Mm-hmm. And then the next moment, friend.
Number five?
Mm-hmm. Number five.
Number five in our countdown is the kiss heard around the world. Rachel and Brian's night one kiss. Now, when we watched the premiere, it was me, this is like years ago, me, Justine, our friend Eloise at Eloise's apartment, and we were fans of Brian, like, from the beginning, because he was old, he knew what he wanted, like, all that stuff. When they kissed, the three of us were like a horny little schoolgirl, like, wow! I'll never forget, we're like screeching, oh my God! All up in the TV screen, oh my God. So, let me back up, let's break down the kiss scene real quick. So, Rachel, Brian took Rachel out to the front of the house where they sat, had some like private time. Fresh out the gate, this nigga said, so, you know, I'm a chiropractic physician, so that means I'm good with my hands. Mm-hmm. Already, the lines and the sexual innuendos. Oh my God. And Rachel, she's like, you know, damn, here comes the trouble. You're in the trouble, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And just from that scene, they had so much just like instant physical attraction.
Oh my God, fireworks.
And then he was speaking Spanish to her, and then he just naturally kind of has this like just like strong sexual energy, I guess. Like, I don't know. He's just like a very sexual being. And you could just, the physical attraction between them was just like so palpable. And suddenly they're talking about him being a troublemaker and something, and then he just went in for the kill, and it was a hell of a kiss. Even watching it back just an hour ago, getting my notes together, it was a good-ass kiss.
Yeah, I watched it. I had the same reaction I did 3 years ago watching this. I was like, oh
God. Yeah. It was a good kiss. I love the moment because I don't think anyone was expecting Rachel to kiss anyone on the first night.
Yeah. She didn't want to. She said she didn't wasn't want going to.
Yeah, she didn't want to. She's very she's very like buttoned up, you know. She's she's fun and whatnot, but like she, you know, she's here, she's serious, she's trying to find her love. So like I didn't expect that at all. They were tonguing down. It was a good kiss. You could hear it. It really was. The kiss heard around the world. You did. And he got the first impression rose after that. And that was really like the beginning of the Rachel and Brian story.
Their love story. Wild. Yep.
All right. Should we move into our number four moment?
Number four. So we've watched people on this franchise slip through the cracks before. Mm-hmm. Nobody has slipped through the cracks more than Adam and Matt.
Who? Who's that? Come again? Who? I still don't know who these people are. Oh my God. These poor things.
Not only do they have like very nondescript names, like anyone could be Adam and anyone could be Matt.
That's so true.
But they just, we saw zero personality. Matt was the one who came in the penguin suit, who Natasha, Eloise, and I, all three of us thought it was a hairline cover up.
Because his hairline was terrible.
A receding hairline.
Oh, bless him.
He had to wear a whole, I don't know, he was a penguin, a turkey, a pigeon. I don't know. He was some kind of bird. And then Adam, who later on we saw in Bachelor in Paradise, right? And he came and fell in love with Raven. And I think they're still together, which is great. But nobody saw anything from them the whole season.
It was the worst editing job in the history of the Bachelor franchise.
Ever, because they made it to top five.
They made it to the top six the week before hometowns, and we literally never saw them.
Never. They were so focused on like Kenny and Lee, and like all this other drama and some stuff that we're gonna talk about later. But they could have given these two guys a chance.
It was wild. Come
on. How are we rooting for two white men on the Black Girl season?
Exactly. Ugh. And like I had to watch, did you watch the scene over of Rachel sending them home?
No.
Oh my God, that's one of the most comical things I've ever seen. Rachel, keep in mind, this is the top six, so she has deep invested feelings in these guys, and this is the week before hometowns. The scene of Rachel sending them home, she is bawling her eyes out. She's sitting with Matt bawling and said, you know, you remind me most of myself. You have such a special place in my heart. It meant so much for you to be here. What? I hate saying goodbye like this. And was bawling. And I distinctly remember Twitter was like, who is that man? Who the fuck is that? What is his name? Like, we literally did not even know these people's names. And she was crying tears over her, over this guy. It was hilarious to watch because I just remember the feedback online where nobody knew who any of these, like who either of those guys were. Oh my God. But as you said, thank God for Paradise because they both went to Paradise and we actually like got to know who the fuck Adam and Matt were.
Yeah.
Should we go into our number three moment? We're in the top three.
Number three. Yep.
Number three is the epic, infamous. Peter and Rachel breakup scene. Lord have mercy. So I have to admit, every day, multiple times a day, in the weeks following the finale, I would literally torture myself by watching the Rachel and Peter breakup scene on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Just which like, is, yeah, obviously.
By the way, a non-monetized video that has like 700,000 views.
Oh, so many views because women across the world are doing this. Whenever you want a good cry or a good, I don't even know. Sometimes I've always been crying. I was just watching the shit out of the scene. Why was it so compelling to watch? I don't even know.
Because it was so real.
It was so real.
So real. We haven't seen that on reality TV, I don't think, ever.
Not a breakup as raw as that. Yeah.
No, and even like feelings as raw as this. I don't know. Most of the time you could tell it's orchestrated.
Right.
Like, unless it's a death. Like, but this, like, just breakup scene and two people falling in love, never. We've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, that shit was wild. So, I mean, if you want a refresher, it's on YouTube. You can find it real quick, guys. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's the two of them going back and forth for like 5 minutes. When we interviewed Rachel Lindsay, which we did that about two seasons ago, go back and listen to that episode.
It's a good one.
when we interviewed Rachel Lindsay, she said that episode, she said that conversation was like 3-4 hours long.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we just got like four or five super intense minutes. Mm-hmm. Rachel literally saying goodbye to a man that she loves, like, mm-hmm. and has no control over it because he's basically saying, I'm not going to propose to you tomorrow. And she's not letting up on getting a proposal. So they were at a standoff, essentially. And it was just sad to watch because basically their relationship became a casualty of the Bachelor process.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Because without that forced proposal, like, who knows what could have happened? I mean, she could have still chose Brian.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think she would have, personally.
I think she still would have because she's mm-hmm. with him now and clearly has, like, stronger feelings for him. But I think that even would have made it even more complicated because
mm-hmm.
you would have had two really good guys at the end who were like, yeah, I'll be your boyfriend. Like, but their relationship, yeah, was a casualty of the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just heart-wrenching to watch. Like, he walks her out. She is bawling. Her mm-hmm. eyelashes are falling out.
Mm-hmm.
They make out. She walks away. She doesn't want to leave. She comes back. Mm-hmm. They make out again. Then she leaves. Like, it was Peter's a classic.
Hand, like, shaking, wiping the tears off her face. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yep.
He's a mess as well. He don't want to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a classic Bachelor moment, just best breakup mm-hmm. scene of all time.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. But now that I look at it, and also now that we have spoken to Rachel Lindsay about this, mm-hmm. I totally see why she could not even justify picking him over Brian. Mm-hmm. Because the way this man was talking versus the way that Brian was talking to her sounded crazy. Sounded way too crazy, and she just wasn't in the place, especially during that whole season when she was saying very firm on her rules for most of the time. Mm-hmm. She couldn't justify just like breaking the rules for this guy based on what he said was gonna happen, like,
right,
and that he said that Brian would give her a mediocre life. When he said that shit, that was crazy.
Yeah, I think also Rachel, like, with this show, as we've said tons of times on this podcast, that none of this is real. You can only go off based off people's words.
Yeah.
Like, you're in this bubble. He can't, you know, do any big actions to show you that he's dedicated to you. All he can do is tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So for her, Peter just saying, like, yes, we can be together, like, just having those words and not mm-hmm. having it sealed with a ring,
mm-hmm.
that she was not going to say. Like, she's like, I need an action. We are past the words. Yes. The show is over at the finale. I need an action, not just words. I think that's really what it came down to as well.
Yeah.
And it makes more sense now when I look at it, because back when I was watching it, I was like, this is crazy. She wants a proposal from these men. She does not know. But now I see it, because you're sitting in this bubble with guys that you love, and mm-hmm. then they're telling you they love you back. But how do I know you love me back? Right. All I know is just these fucking words. You promised that we're going to be together afterwards. I don't know what that is. But if I had that ring, though, I would know.
Right. Yeah.
You know? So I get it. Definitely get it now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move into our number two.
So number two, classic, is the hometowns of the guys. I think every mm-hmm. single hometown from every single guy could have been spotlighted. Mm-hmm. Brian had...
I would say Peter's was kind of normal.
Oh, but... yeah, that's right. I was just thinking, like, whose was the fourth? Peter's. Yeah, Peter's is boring.
Yeah.
They seem really nice. They're on Instagram, right? Mm-hmm. Supporting his gym or whatever. So that's nice. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Brian's hometown in Miami, amazing, with mm-hmm. his mother who was sobbing, crying, even thinking about giving her son over to this woman who was not her.
Right.
Which I'm sure they get along now and it's all great, but she was pretty hard on Rachel. Mm-hmm. Eric, we had a black hometown, mm-hmm. which was amazing to see. I really loved seeing how the black women in his family really rallied around Rachel being with their son.
Mm-hmm.
And how they raised him and how they did not tear her down in any way, shape, or form, and probably weren't as hard on her as they would have been. But they just really came together in a really amazing way. But it was also the moment that, like, Eric became the boy and Rachel became the woman. Like, during that episode, it was like, oh, Eric is like,
We saw his youth, like, shine through and his, like, inexperience. And,
he never was in love. Like, all these things. That, now that I'm 29 and he was 29, I'm like, for real? None of the above?
And just the kind of the... It's one thing to be really close with your mother and, like, all these women, whatever, but he almost seemed kind of, like, protected and coddled by them in a way.
And it
just played into his, like, lack of experience. He just seemed so youthful, like, too youthful to become, like, Rachel's husband.
And then it was Dean's hometown.
The hometown of all hometowns. The best hometown in the history of the Bachelor franchise still.
Sure. His dad was, and stepmom, I guess, were both Sikh. And Dean did not do a very good job in explaining why or what happened. He had he said he grew up in a very religious home, not that religion. And his mother passed away when he was 14. And it all just went downhill from there. I guess she was the anchor of the family. The brother and sister were really weird as well. They didn't really, like,
they weren't close at all.
I don't think they spoke really that much.
He said he had not seen his dad in 2 years, and this was the first time that all of them, brother, sister, Dean, dad, were under the same roof in 8 years. Hometowns episode on The Bachelorette. Like, that's what? This is wild.
Another real moment, though. A very, very real moment on TV. Yeah, it was a lot. And then even the lead up to it, I remember they just did that slow zoom in on his dad's house.
And the dad's face and the house. They made it seem like a horror movie we was about to go to. It was wild. Yeah, this episode, or Dean's hometown, had us, I hate to say, we were laughing like crazy. We had us laid out.
We were howling.
But also on, like, the edge of our seats. It was, like, great editing. There was so much backstory with the family drama. Like, we had no idea what the hell was about to go down the hometown. Dean, as they're walking up, kept repeating how terrified he was. We're like, what the hell is about to happen? And it was a train wreck. It was terrible. I felt so bad for Dean. He was right. He was absolutely right. He should have been terrified because it was a train wreck and a half, and they made him film this shit on television.
Oh, my God.
So bad. And, like, I was watching earlier, too, a scene between Dean and his dad where, I mean, he hasn't seen his dad in 2 years. And... so they obviously don't talk, and there's so much pent up stuff, and him and his dad have, like, this one-on-one moment, and this one part that was so uncomfortable, the dad was talking about, like, oh, it's so great to see all the progress Dean has made, you know, that must mean I was a pretty good dad. And, like, literally this man said this: you have not talked to your son in 2 years. But
right, that's horrific. What do you mean?
And Dean is just sitting there, like, stone-faced, and you can just tell he's just suppressing, like, all the emotions, just suppressing it as he's been doing probably since the mother died, and the dad just, like, didn't keep this family together. And then the two of them kind of have these deep-ass conversations, bringing up stuff from the past, and the mom, and the cancer, and all this shit happening on... like, outside the confounds of a therapist's office, for one, but on national television? Like, oh my God. That's one of the hardest and the most memorable hometown I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And so that leads us to our number one Bobit.
One of my favorites.
Our most memorable moments of Rachel Lindsay's season. Is the DeMario showdown when we meet Lexi with her scrunchie.
Oh, I didn't even know her name was Lexi.
And Rachel, her read upon read of DeMario that solidified her as the greatest bachelorette of all time. Lord. So the producers dug up some crazy dusty girl from DeMario's past, some girl he met on Bumble, who was claiming up and down that they were basically like engaged to be married. Like, she was making it sound like they were full on in love at the altar. She was looking at her like, she is a girl I slept with once or twice. Who are you? And it was just wild because the minute Rachel brought DeMario out to confront this girl, this man was lying from second one.
Yep.
First, he claimed he didn't know who she was. Then he explained that she was just some chick from Bumble. And then he claimed that he broke up with her face to face. The girl was saying up and down that did not happen.
Right. That's the other thing. In the corner, Cash Me Outside, which is what I've been calling her because she looks just like that girl, was sitting in the corner with her scrunchie, her velvet scrunchie on her hand, and her phone, her snakeskin phone. Like, I have the evidence right here. I know when he left my house. I have fibers of his hair. I have a toenail clipping. And I have exactly when he was sleeping at my house. I know everything. I give it all to you, Rachel. I got you.
Like, you got her. Yeah, she did. She came with all the receipts. Rachel was laying into him, question after question, you know, when did you break things off? When was the last time you spoke to her? Like, true lawyer shit. Like, she came with all the questions. And he was just flailing the entire time. Like, it was so funny to watch. And then homegirl, Cash Me Outside, gave Rachel her phone. And Rachel literally, within 3 seconds, verified that he was lying. Mm-hmm. Like, saw all the texts. There was no breakup. She was not just some girl on Bumble. Like, they had an actual kind of, I don't know how extensive their relationship was, but they had a relationship of some sort. Yeah. Yeah. And Rachel full on just read him to filth. She said, I'm not here to be played. I'm not here to be made a joke of. So I'm going to need you to get the fuck out and like actually drop the F-bomb. I loved it.
Me too.
Drop the mic while and walk wearing
Jordan
away.
11s. I'll let everybody here know.
Right. Like, teed up, ready to go. And then, later at the house, this Negro decides to show up yet again to plead his case to Rachel. Rachel, again, reads him to his grave.
The fact he said something about, in my Uber ride here, and I was like, they couldn't even send a car for you?
No!
You had to call an Uber your way to the bachelor mansion.
Oh my god.
To get cursed out. Oh.
To get cursed out. She read him again, for a second time. She said, I need a man who owns his mistakes, and I gave you time and time again in the gym with you looking like a damn fool to explain yourself. I love that. She said, had you owned up to your foolishness, you might be in the house right now. Mm-hmm. You know, yesterday in the gym, that was a boy. I'm looking for a man. Mm. I'm glad you came to the realization that you want to move forward, but forward is not into the mansion. Forward is outside those gates. She just came with zinger after zinger after zinger after zinger. And then the cherry on top is when she said, thank you, and then walked away. Greatest bachelorette of all time. Loved it.
And he was speechless, and all that nigga does is talk. And he was like, okay.
That's so true. He's such a talker. Talk, and then was left there on silent. Couldn't say a word. Oh, I love it. And that concludes our countdown.
That's it.
Nice little walk down memory lane. Mm-hmm. Our favorite season of all time. Mm-hmm. Rachel Lindsay. Not only just the favorite season of all time, but I think truly one of the best seasons of this show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just the amount of drama, the weird editing. Dean's hometown within itself was like... Yeah. That within itself was wild. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. All right. What's coming up next week? Hannah B's season.
Mm-hmm. What are your predictions, friend? What do you think we're gonna see?
Yeah, so one exciting piece of news I do want to share for people who haven't already like heard this. there's a new element coming to the show on night one, Hannah's Angels. So Demi and Katie from last season will be brought back, and they will be set up in a surveillance van parked outside of the mansion, and they'll get to watch footage of the guys in the house during night one, and then they get to report back to Hannah. I think this is brilliant.
I think this is great. Also, they're called Hannah's Angels. So this is the brainchild of Demi herself, because she had the idea, if you all remember, in her like first little clip, where she wanted to have like a petite Victoria's Secret Angels, and she was going to call them Demi's Angels. She had this whole branding going. So Demi, bravo, girl, you on your way.
Yeah. Well, she got that check. Trademark that shit.
Yep. Yep.
So I think this is brilliant. We've literally, this show is so dusty. They have not done anything new to the formula of the show since they started the show 17 years ago. So this is very exciting that they're bringing this in. And you and I personally love Demi. A lot of people love Demi because she's good for some one-liners and shit. Yeah. And then Katie, I mean, awesome. She was a huge character on last season. Yep. And she was even on the damn show. After she left the house, she was a huge character with all the tea that she spilled after she left. And so I'm excited to see what drama or what they're going to see in the house with the guys and report to Hannah. Other predictions for Hannah's season. Oh, boy. I'm predicting a lot of Chads, a lot of Tanners, a lot of just 24-year-olds, like captain of the rowing team ass dudes. Like, that's pretty much what I'm expecting. I'm predicting she will get engaged. I would be shocked if she does not. And I think she's gonna pick someone just like very predictable. I don't know.
I think it's gonna be a pretty predictable season. I don't really see any like standout drama happening. Or anything truly different. The only thing that I think we could truly benefit out of this is if there is a black man on her show that these viewers fall in love with, we might get a black bachelor.
Ain't gonna happen. I'm telling you now.
Girl, I have hopes of a woman with a hijab on this show.
Yeah, you have some high fantasies, my friend. This is not even a hope. This is a full-on fantasy. Shit is not coming true. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're not going to get our Black Bachelor from Hannah B. season.
Listen, stranger things have happened.
This is true. Well, I'll keep hoping and wishing on a prayer. But I don't know. But yeah, we'll see. We will see. Our final reminder, if you want to hear us next week recapping Hannah B's season, again, we have moved our podcast to Patreon. If you want to receive weekly recaps and hear all of our tea and juice on this Hannah B's upcoming season, then you've got to become a patron on Patreon. Head to patreon.com/twoblackgirlsonerose. For just $5 a month, you can get exclusive access to our weekly recaps. All of the information is down in our description box. So please head on over to the website. And as we stated, we are looking for 1,000 of you guys, just 1,000 of y'all, to follow suit and sign up for Patreon. And we promise that we will recap the show. Please support us. We want to be back here next week.
Yes, we want to be back. We love it.
We love it. And yeah, so that's it. That's the episode.
That's it.
Remember, rate, review, subscribe. Hit us up on Twitter, email, Facebook, Instagram, all of the things.
Any email and call outs, email us. Merch. Get some merch going.
Merch, we still got merch. If you ain't get your mug yet, two black girls, one rose. We got tank tops, we got stickers, we got all kind of stuff. Teespring.com. That's teespring.com/2BlackGirlsOneRose. And that's it, y'all. We'll be back.
That's it. Bye, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.